America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the power behind the power. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend James Perloff. And we're going to be talking about, something he's written about in his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. That's Truth is a Lonely Warrior, and we're going to be talking about the Spanish-American War. Now, what does the Spanish-American War have to do with what's going on in the world today? Well, everything is manipulated, ladies and gentlemen. The stock market's manipulated. The stock market was down 317 points today. Why? Why? Because our major banks are not lending, because they're raising the interest rates. They're going to contract our economy. They're doing this intentionally. And this certainly... The Spanish-American War was a totally contrived war, as was World War I, as was World War II in Korea, and certainly Vietnam. In fact, all during Vietnam, we were funding the Soviets so that they could fund the North Vietnamese, so they could fund the South Vietnamese, so we could kill our boys. But you see, if we didn't do that, how would we get the war going, and how would we maintain the war and nothing as it appears to be? And certainly the Spanish-American War isn't what it appears to be. I was reading the paper just today, and they were telling about all the terrible atrocities that have taken place over in Syria. They had pictures of tens of thousands of people who'd been tortured to death by the Assad regime. Now, we don't know whether any of this is true. I do not believe it. Assad himself is a doctor. He's an ophthalmologist who didn't want the job there. I think he's a kind man. We know he protected the Christians in this Shia Muslim country. And yet, of course, we see the propaganda to justify our continued support of the terrorists who really are torturing and killing people. But with that as a background, certainly the similarities between what happened during the Spanish-American War and what's going on today are striking. And you need to understand the Spanish-American War to understand what's going on today. James, you pick up the story.
Okay, and you're absolutely right. Some people might think, well, why talk about something that happened in 1898? And we're just trying to... demonstrate the parallels that have existed throughout history so that people realize that what's happening today is not isolated. If you look at the Spanish-American War, the context of that time, you know, today people talk about the Fed and Wall Street's control of the White House and the huge bailouts of Wall Street. Well, back in the 1890s, as Ferdinand Lundberg documented in his classic book, America's 60 Families, the White House at that time was under the control of Wall Street. Then too was President William McKinley, when he was governor of Ohio, had been bailed out by a syndicate headed by Mark Hanna, who was a front man for John D. Rockefeller. He'd been classmates with John D. Rockefeller in high school, and he went on to become the political manager for William McKinley, and he became boss of the White House. And some people laughingly referred to McKinley as McHanna, and J.P. Morgan also had his hand in controlling the White House. And above all, it was the National City Bank. Lundberg wrote in America's 60 Families, quote, National City Bank during McKinley's incumbency was significantly more closely involved in administration affairs than any other bank, unquote. And here's a quote from the Chicago Chronicle of April the 14th, 1898, quote, the Rothschilds and the Morgans control the White House. And I think we got a break coming on.
We have. And basically, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this was 114 years ago, something like that. But the same forces are still at work three or four generations later. This is all manipulated. You're seeing the same things, a small group controlling what's going on in Washington, D.C. The ultimate goal of one world government, a one world financial system. And Sydney, it's coming. It's coming very rapidly. And of course, they intend to destroy Christianity and create a one world religion. We'll be back in a moment with James Perloff right here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freeze-dry.com.
We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is James Perloff, and we're talking about the Spanish-American War. Basically, all of these wars are contrived just exactly as the war over in Syria is contrived. Who is financing? Certainly the opposition there that's trying to overthrow the existing government, headed by an ophthalmologist, Assad, President Assad is an ophthalmologist. He didn't want the job, but when his brother died and his dad died, why they pervaded upon him to come back from London where he was living and take over the job. And basically now they're coming up with all these terrible atrocity stories about how terrible things are over in Syria and how they're torturing thousands of people to death. And it's just like deja vu all over again, because that's exactly what James is describing was happening certainly at the years leading up to the Spanish-American War. And of course, the Spanish-American War was about 1898. And basically, why, of course, they had all these stories about how they were butchering the women there and how they were roasting the priests. And it was all contrived. There was no truth to any of this. But you tell these lies often enough, and the people believed at that point, just as a lot of the American people are believing the controlled media. Back then, of course, the media was controlled by Pulitzer and by William Randolph Hearst. Today, what I call the Brotherhood, it controls almost all of the major media outlets. Print and television and radio, and as a result, largely controls what the American people think and believe. And James is simply telling us about the propaganda that was used to get us into the Spanish-American War, so similar to what's being done today to justify the coming war that's going to be over there in the Middle East. Go right ahead, James.
Well, yes, it's setting a precedent. We have these Cuban atrocity stories I was talking about that were fabricated by William Randolph Hearst and Pulitzer at that time. But it's been happened throughout history. And in World War I, they said that German soldiers were bayoneting babies in Belgium. And after the war, they found nobody had ever seen anything like that happen. Of course, you might recall that the Gulf War of 1991, they said that the Iraqi soldiers were taking Kuwaiti babies and throwing them out of incubators. And that was a fabricated story. And so when you hear the stories about Assad, look back at history and see how many times we've been brought into wars by fake atrocity stories. Well, anyway, getting back to the Spanish-American War, a decision was made at the White House in January of 1898 to send the battleship Maine to Havana. No minutes were kept of that meeting. And I should mention that the Spanish were not warned of the ship's arrival on January the 25th, 1898, nor was even the American consulate. In fact, let me quote what the captain of the Maine said, Charles Sigby, quote, "It became known to me afterward that the Maine had not been expected, even by the United States Consul General," unquote. So it looks as if somebody was hoping that when this battleship sailed into Havana Harbor, that shooting would erupt, but that didn't happen. The Spanish permitted the ship to dock, to welcome there. They offered to take the ship's crew to bullfights and try to keep things peaceful. The ship was sitting there for 3 weeks, and then William Randolph Hearst had been paying bribes to have the correspondence of the Spanish ambassador to Washington spied upon, and he finally got hold of a letter from the Spanish ambassador, which was critical of William McKinley. And the letter wasn't really all that terrible. It said that McKinley was a low politician who desired to stand well with the jingles of his party. But it was printed in the Hearst Journal under the headline, "The Worst Insult to the United States in Its History." Well, at this point, anti-Spanish feelings are at peak. 2 days later, the USS Maine is torn apart by a massive explosion. 266 crew members die. This is the 9-1-1 of its day. Now, there was a naval court of inquiry by the United States. They could not determine who was behind it, but the American press had no doubts. They said it was Spanish treachery, and of course, we went to war with a battle cry, "Remember the Maine, and to hell with Spain." That was intended, apparently, to bring back the feelings of vengeance that the phrase "Remember the Alamo" had inspired in Sam Houston's troops back in 1836. But there was no evidence whatsoever that Spain was behind the sinking of the Maine. And let's talk, Stan, about why Spain would not have sunk the Maine. They were bending over backwards to avoid war with us. They knew that we had a modern navy of steel warships. Their ships were mostly still wooden. They couldn't match our firepower. And trying to defend Cuba, which was more than 4,000 miles from Spain, against the United States, which is less than 100 miles from Cuba, would be impossible. And so they gave in to demand after demand. We would demand they recall their governor, Valeriano Weyler, that they did that. We demanded that they change their policies in Cuba. They changed their policies. They offered to give Cuba semi-autonomy, the same type of relationship that Canada has with Britain. Concession after concession was made by the Spaniards. They wanted desperately to avoid this war. They're the last people who would have wanted to sink the Maine, but it was blamed on Spain. And, of course, not one iota of evidence has ever linked the Spanish to the sinking of the Maine.
And, you know, that reminds me so much of the Afghan War. Basically, of course, after the 9/11 attack, and we insisted that was Osama bin Laden, who incidentally had been affiliated with the CIA for many years, but we insisted it was Osama bin Laden. He was living in Afghanistan. And so we said, you know, we've got to turn him over to us. And the Afghans said, well, we'll turn him over to international control. No, you can't turn him over to international control. You got to turn him over to us. And they said, well, maybe we could just simply work out something so he could be taking control of by an international organization that could determine whether he's innocent or guilty. And we didn't wait. We did not want Osama bin Laden. We wanted an excuse to go to war with Afghanistan as a prelude to going to war with Iraq, as a prelude to, I believe, going to be a coming war over there. And basically, we would not allow the Afghans to make any concessions. They wanted a war. And basically, this is how the world is really run. You have a small elite that runs both political parties, and they take us from war to war to war. And that's exactly what certainly happened back in the Spanish-American War. There was nothing the Spaniards could do to placate us. We wanted a war. We were going to have a war, and we did have a war. Go ahead.
Well, the Spaniards gave in to every demand except to leave Cuba. And in a really chilling hypocrisy, President McKinley, who was under the control of the Rockefellers and the Morgan interest, said he'd exhausted all diplomatic means of maintaining peace, and he secured a resolution from Congress that called for, quote, demanding that the government of Spain relinquish its authority and government in the island of Cuba and Cuban waters, and directing the President of the United States to use the land and naval forces of the United States to carry these resolutions into effect, unquote. Now, Dr. Stan, let me mention why it was that Spain decided to fight this war. Spain had ruled Cuba since 1511. They'd been there for almost 400 years. And all Cubans considered, I'm sorry, all Spaniards considered Cuba part of Spain, just as we would consider Alaska or Hawaii part of the United States. And if they had left Cuba on our demand, there would have been a revolution in Spain. And so they decided to fight a hopeless war. They knew they couldn't beat the United States. They fought a hopeless war with honor rather than to leave Cuba in disgrace and have a revolution at home. And of course, the United States won that war. We won it in less than 4 months. The battles of Manila Harbor and San Diego Harbor, we wiped out their Pacific and Atlantic fleets. We only had one fatality ourselves in each of those battles. Very one-sided affair. And of course, we won. But there was a lot going on behind the scenes that Americans didn't know about. National City Bank, which we've already quoted Lundberg on them running the White House, National City Bank loaned the United States the money to fund to fight this war, $200 million. Now, the man who negotiated that loan from National City Bank was Frank Vandalip, which may be a name that a lot of your listeners are familiar with. After the war, National City Bank, which is the predecessor of today's Citibank, made Frank Vandalip its president. And in that capacity, of course, he attended the Jekyll Island meeting where the Federal Reserve was founded. So a lot of dark things are happening. Now, to pay for the war, to pay back this loan to National City Bank, there was no income tax then. So a new use tax was placed on telephones. And you know what, Dr. Stan, this tax from the Spanish-American War, use tax on telephones, remained in place for 108 years. People don't believe that. Just Google Spanish-American War telephone 108 years. It was not rescinded until the year 2006. National City Bank funded this war. Americans fought and bled so that National City Bank could take over the Cuban sugar industry, that white gold we were talking about before.
But I think it's so important people understand that when banks lend the money government, they charge interest on it, and they charge interest on that interest, and they charge interest on the interest on the interest. And this is basically, of course, what happens. This is how why we have this phenomenal debt today. I mean, we've got a national debt of over $17.3 trillion, and we're paying interest on that debt. Fortunately, it's a low interest now, but the interest rates are going up, and pretty soon a significant part of all the money the federal government takes in will be going to the banks to cover the interest. But it all started back there, and it started in the Civil War, but eventually we paid off most of that. But then, of course, now they needed a series of war. The Spanish-American War was this next series of war, followed by World War I and World War II, and by Korea and Vietnam, all designed to make money for the banks through interest, compound interest upon compound interest. Go right ahead.
Right. In addition to this interest, they also get control of Cuba's sugar industry. In my article for the New American, I have a National City Bank advertisement from many years ago, boasting of its sugar holdings in Cuba. William Guy Carr wrote in his book, Pawns in the Game, quote, National City Bank owned and controlled Cuba's sugar industry when the war ended, unquote. And that's what we've got a break coming up.
And because this is how the world really works, ladies and gentlemen. You have a small group of very wealthy people tying into banks, crying into corporations. But what people have really missed, and which, of course, James understands, and you, if you read his book, you'll understand, the powerful spiritual forces that energize these people. This is much more than simply money. There is a spiritual component to everything going on. We'll be back in just a moment with James Perloff talking about the Spanish-American War, and then we'll talk about his book, which we carry a very, very
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Warburg, founder of the Fed, and
hold that thought. Yeah. We'll be right back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and James is simply talking about the Spanish-American War, how basically, of course, this was to turn the sugar industry of Cuba over to the major banks here in the United States. And, of course, we used that to take over Puerto Rico, which we still control today. We took over the Philippines, and even though we did eventually give them a semblance of us and the autonomy and their own country, why we still dominate the Philippines, we always have. And basically, this was the first imperialistic war of the United States, the first imperialistic war we fought along the road towards this one world government where America and, of course, Great Britain will dominate the world together, because basically the one country that backed us during the Spanish-American War was Great Britain. Apparently, during the war, they organized an Anglo-American organization known as the Pilgrim Society, but still exists today. America and Britain to stand together. Remember when Great Britain invaded the Falklands here a decade ago? The only country in the whole world that stood with them was, of course, the United States. And on so much of what we do, the only country that stands, we can always depend upon standing with us, is Great Britain, because we're ruled by two branches of the same little secret society. And the average American has no idea what's going on. They don't even know the names of the secret societies, but I've been to their headquarters and spent weeks back in New York City going through the files there at the American branch, and I visited the one in London as well, there at Chatham House, number 10 St. James Square in London. But go right ahead.
Oh, well, yes, the Anglo-American alliance, of course, led to, you know, our fighting on Britain's side, World War One. But I was talking about the membership. Frank Vandalip was an original member of the Pilgrims. J.P. Morgan was their first vice president. Over on the British side, you had Nathan Rothschild, the powerful financier. You had Montague Norman, the head of the Bank of England. Philip Carr, the notorious world government advocate. And, of course, Winston Churchill, who had visited Cuba in 1895, which sparked an outcry in Britain because they wanted to know what he was doing in a country where Britain had no interest. But this was actually the parent organization to the Council on Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute of International Affairs. You'll find that many of their members were also members of the secretive Pilgrim Society. So there were many purposes to the Spanish-American War, as there are in most wars. Another one, of course, was dismantling Spain's as a power. And now, of course, it's just a province of the European Union. But let's talk about some of the hypocrisy that went into this war. You touched on one of them. Americans were told, we're fighting in Cuba because we're fighting colonialism. We're against colonialism. But as you pointed out, we took over all of Spain's remaining colonies under the terms of surrender. We took over the Philippines, Guam, and Puerto Rico. And so people wouldn't catch on. We didn't call them colonies. We called them possessions. But in the meantime, as you point out, that these colonies, such as the Philippines, like Cuba, had a very profitable sugar industry, and soon National City Bank was setting up its branch offices in Puerto Rico and in the Philippines. Another hypocrisy was this. We were told that we're fighting so Cuba could have self-government. But when the Filipinos asked for self-government, we crushed them in the Moro Wars, which began in 1899. 20,000 Filipinos died fighting for their independence. Whatever happened to the concept of self-government? And one more piece of hypocrisy to this war, the advocates of the war invoked the Monroe Doctrine. Well, yes, James Monroe had stated the Monroe Doctrine in 1823, said he would not tolerate future interference from nations outside the Western Hemisphere, but he did not apply it to existing colonies like Cuba. And if we're going to apply the Monroe Doctrine and say that people should mind their own business and stay in their own sphere, what are we doing in the Philippines and taking control in Asia? Makes no sense, but none of this is being pointed out by the mass media that day to the American people. We're simply told that it's patriotic, it's our manifest destiny, and so forth, as we reshape the world for the coming New World Order.
And, of course, you know, you were talking about colonies, basically. America has 45,000 military troops permanently stationed in Germany. We have about 35,000 troops permanently stationed in Japan. We have 25,000 troops permanently stationed in South Korea. And when you have your troops permanently stationed there, that country is a colony. Nobody's going to talk about that. Oh, my goodness, we just have our troops there because we want to protect them from who? Ladies and gentlemen, we dominate the people in Washington, D.C., those internationalists whose loyalty is not to America but to this internationalist dream, have our troops permanently stationed in Great Britain, 11,000, in Italy, 11,000, all throughout the world. We have troops in 130 nations. But we can't let the American people understand what's really going on. You're supposed to think that we have our troops in Germany because we're protecting America. We have our troops in Japan because we're protecting America. Do you honestly believe that? Stop and think about what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. Most of what you've been told, most of what you believe isn't true. What we need to do is get people in positions of power who believe in America, interested in American sovereignty, not rule world government.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley. Most of you now know why so many people are bringing their miracles. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782. Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, that thought, we're going to be back in just a moment with James Perloff right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is James Perloff, and I've known James for a number of years. In fact, we still carry his first book. What was your first book?
The Shadows of Power.
The Shadows of Power. We still carry it. It's an important book. And then, of course, we have his current book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Truth is a Lonely Warrior. You know, there are a lot of people writing books today, but the very few of them really understand what's going on, because certainly they write about the politics and the various person personalities, then the political forces that are going back and forth, but they don't get into the spiritual aspect of this. This is a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological battlefield, and James is one of that small handful of writers who I feel a kinship towards, even though we've never met personally, while we've certainly talked many times and I've read his writings. But he understands what's going on. He certainly is, as we carry his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Truth is a Lonely Warrior. We think it's important. James, do you have a website people can go to and get information?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I lost my website many years ago due to criminal activity, and I just have a new website that went live 2 days ago. It's just jamesperloff.com. I've got articles there, information on my books, stuff on creation evolution, which is another subject I've written on. I've got a link to your website there. We've got a number of special features on there, and I think people will enjoy it.
Amen to that. Well, let me recommend his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, certainly his other book, his earlier book. And we just think that James is a wonderful source of information. But go right ahead. James has been telling us about the Spanish-American War, one of the multitude of wars that we've fought, but never for the reason, the true reason. The American people are told by the controlled media that we're going to war because of the atrocities and because we want freedom and we want democracy and we want people to have the right of self-expression, but it's really all about control. And of course, today the wars are fought because the people who lead both political parties want a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and they want to destroy Christianity, and they want to bring about a one-world religion. Go right ahead, James.
Well, I'm so glad we have people like you, Dr. Stan, to present these ideas and this information on the airwaves, and you have a superb understanding that you've developed over many years of the truth. And you're so right when you say this is a spiritual battle. This is really a battle of good versus evil, and the evil has disguised itself through deceptions in the media. And so people we've been led into these wars, Spanish-American War. This is my first chapter of my book, Truth of the Lonely Warriors, about the wars. It's one of over 30 chapters and appendices in the book, but of course, there was World War One. We were led in by the sinking of the Lusitania, which was arranged and plotted. Interesting that Winston Churchill was head of the British Admiralty when the Lusitania went down. This is Franklin D. Roosevelt was Assistant Secretary of the Navy. And then you see these two as heads of government as they plot an entry to the next World War, World War Two. And in my book, of course, we talk about the foreknowledge that Washington had of the Pearl Harbor attack. We've had a show on that, you and I. The Pearl Harbor attack, of course, Washington knew through decoded intercepts, naval and diplomatic dispatches, and personal warnings, but they denied that information to our commanders in Hawaii. The Korean War, a totally avoidable war. We gave North Korea to Joseph Stalin for fighting in the Pacific War for 5 days. America won the war against Japan. Stalin came in 5 days before Japan surrendered, and as a reward, he was accorded control of North Korea. That's why it's a communist state. That's why we had a Korean War in which 50,000 GIs died. Absolutely avoidable. The Vietnam War, of course, there was Tonkin Gulf incident, a non-existent attack of August the 4th, 1964. That's well documented by Admiral James Stockdale, who was a pilot in the Tonkin Gulf, recipient of the Congressional Medal of Honor. He was on the scene, overflew the site for 90 minutes, said there were absolutely no Vietnamese torpedo boats in the area. But that led to the Tonkin Gulf Resolution, which had already been written before the incident took place, which cost us another 50,000 American GIs their lives in the Vietnam War, which was dragged out unnecessarily for 14 years. And, of course, you've got the
We never talk about the million South Vietnamese and the 2 million North Vietnamese.
Not just the GIs, it's the people, yes.
Right, this is the tragedy. I mean, I'm concerned about any American boy who dies. But we have to understand, and we killed 1 million South Vietnamese, 2 million North Vietnamese, and all the time this was going on, while the United States, our banks, our corporations were funding the Soviets, were funding the North Vietnamese. Vietnamese, who are funding the South Vietnamese, who are killing our people just as today. We are funding the terrorists over there in Syria, who are certainly fighting Assad's government. And then, of course, we're doing everything we can to fund the Soviets, who are funding Assad's government. So we fund both sides. We have a nice little war over there, and people are dying, and they're dying, and a lot more are going to die because another war is coming. It's not a matter of if, but when. You can see how this whole thing is being staged. Once you understand it's staged, then, of course, you begin to understand that we have evil we're up against. Go right ahead, James.
Yes, it's absolutely a continuum happening throughout history. That's the point we want to make to people, is that what we're witnessing is part of a continuum. That's why I describe these in detail in my book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, to show the pattern, and that each event is not something that's happening in isolation, but as part of a plan, as you pointed out. The ultimate goal in all this restructuring that's come from these wars, and of course the creation of the League of Nations, the UN, is to create ultimately a world government, which would be a world dictatorship. America's founding fathers knew that you don't put all power in one place, you divide it. So we had, division of power, separation of powers within the American government, checks and balances. You wouldn't have that with a world government. There's no check on when you have only one government ruling the world. It would be world tyranny. It would be a Orwellian 1984 type world. That's what they're planning, and that's what we're trying to warn people about. I just wish, Dr. Stan, that everyone would turn off CNN, stop reading the New York Times, and start listening to your show.
Well, I would agree with that. Go right ahead.
Well, anyway, I thank you very much for carrying my book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. I've tried to give people a full picture of what I've learned over the years. And so if people have scoffed at as conspiracy theorists, I've tried to give them a very well-documented and complete yet concise picture of what's going on. So the first chapter is just about the wars. Then the second chapter, we start talking about the people behind the wars, the so-called establishment, which Ferdinand Lundberg called America 60 Families, but which today we really call a little more candidly called the Illuminati. And the third chapter is about the Federal Reserve, how it's founded, how it's causing a whole century of inflation, so that the dollar has lost over 95% of its value, which was stable, by the way. American currency, American price level was stable for 250 years from the days of the pilgrims until the time that the Fed was founded. We had, I have a graph to prove this in the book, basically stable prices. They went up a little bit during wars when we invented money to fight, the Civil War and so forth. But we had massive price increases ever since the Fed was founded. That's their doing. They create money from nothing and give it to their multinational bank friends. And then the book continues. We have a chapter on the war in Vietnam, a chapter on the turning of America into their plan to turn it into a North American Union model after the European Union. We talk about media control, the whole control structure through groups like the Bilderbergers and the Travel Commission. We have a chapter on Freemasonry, on environmentalism, how that's used as a tool of regulating people, a chapter on Zionism and what that means and the ultimate picture of things, a chapter on 9/11, the war on faith, the control of the arts, even the weather control, the destruction of human life through vaccines.
Well, Bob, could you tell us a little bit about weather control? Because basically, right now we're seeing unusually low cold areas in large parts of our country. But we're seeing certainly a drought here in California. How effective are they in their control of the weather today? I mean, basically, of course, it's all secret. Suddenly, if you work for government, you cannot come forward and tell people. How effectively can they control weather, or can they control weather?
It's absolutely been documented, and I'll give you a quote from Bill Clinton, Secretary of Defense William S. Cohen. Here's what he said at a 1997 Defense Department briefing. You can find this quote online very easily. Quote, "Others are engaging in an echo type of terrorism where they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. There are plenty of ingenious minds out there at work, finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real," unquote. That's from our own Secretary of Defense in 1997. And actually, I'd like to say in 1972, the United States and Russia signed a weather treaty promising not to make war on each other using the weather.
Well, that was back in the 1970s, wasn't it?
Right. And in 1970s, Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote this in his book, Between Two Ages, quote, techniques of weather modification could be employed to produce prolonged periods of drought or storms, weakening a nation's capacity and forcing it to accept the demands of the competitor, unquote, Zbigniew Brzezinski. And they do this through what's called extremely low-frequency waves, ELF waves. They can create a drought in California by keeping a moist front out, or create flooding in California by keeping a moist front from leaving California. They can cause flooding in the Mississippi. They can not necessarily generate a hurricane, but they can strengthen it and redirect it and keep it from leaving a place like Katrina did over New Orleans. And this technology exists. You know, we know that they were seeding the clouds in the Vietnam War to extend the monsoon season, but it's much more sophisticated now. There's a lot of documentation of this on the web, and that's what one of the chapters of my book is devoted to.
And that's why this is such an important book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. You can get that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. I recommend this book, and we can't carry all the books. There's so many wonderful books out there, but this is one that was so important, we certainly wanted to carry it, having carried James's earlier book for many years, and we still do. Once again, what's the name of your earlier book?
The Shadows of Power. And that was a history of the Council of Foreign Relations, still in print. Right. It's a history of the Council of Foreign Relations, how it's dominated each administration.
Shadows of Power and Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Go right ahead.
So the new book is really the update of the Shadows of Power. You know, I've given many PowerPoint presentations on what we're talking about, and people kept asking when you could update the Shadows of Power. Well, this is an answer to that request, and really an accumulation of the knowledge I've developed since then. And you know, I believe very firmly, Dr. Stan, that the main purpose of the internet has really been to intelligence gathering on people in preparation for the New World Order. They can read your emails, they can know your friends and who your friends are and what you believe, but to do that, they had to make it attractive. And so, in the meantime, we've been able to learn a lot of, garner a lot of information through the internet, and without that tool, I myself would not have the information I have today. And so, I think that they sort of underestimated the intelligence of the American people to find out, understand things, and because we still do have freedom of speech existing on the internet at this moment in time, it's still possible for people to find out the truth about things. And so you and I are just trying to accelerate that process and help people to know the truth. We know that God stands for the truth. How many times does the word truth appear in the Bible? We know God is all about truth. We know that Satan is the father of lies. And we want to stand in alliance with God and tell people the truth and undo these satanic lies, because it's truly a plan of Satan, this whole idea of creating a one-world government. We know, just look how politically correct it is, and how politically correct our nation is becoming, how God's laws are being violated morally through as each new phase comes through, you know, with gay marriage and legalization of drugs, and God's laws just being taken down one, and, you know, all the oppression of the Christian church and abortion, and it just goes on and it goes on and it goes on. But this is a satanic plan. It's carried out by men on earth, and there are also men on earth trying to fight it. And so you and I are part of that army.
And it's an exciting battle, but we realize, and of course, recognizing that this is a battle that is primarily being fought in the other dimension. And until people understand we live in a subjective world, but there's a spiritual world, that we live in a material world, but there's a mystical world there. People certainly are incapable of understanding so much of what's going on today. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm so glad that there is a spiritual world, and we can look forward to eternal life with God, and we know He wants us to follow His commandments. And one of His commandments, of course, is to tell the truth, or not to lie. And there's so many lies that have been told. I find my ministry is not just about telling the truth; it's about undoing the lies that have been told to people. There's so many of them. Part of my ministry, of course, has been devoted to dispelling Darwin's theory of evolution, which was designed to make people believe that the world came about by chance. You know, it was the Big Bang that created the universe. It was chance chemicals that created life, and man just evolved from apes through natural selection and survival of the fittest. He was not created in the image of God, by God. And, of course, that's just a lie, which is, it's not scientific at all, as I demonstrate in my books. It's only sold and marketed, just as these political ideas have been, lies have been sold and marketed to the public. So that's just as you said, it's a spiritual war that's going on, and there are just so many lies that are out there. It seems like the enemy has a lot of funds on their side. We know they've got billions of dollars. But the thing they don't have on their side that you and I have, Dr. Stan, is the truth. And so, you know what? The lies topple pretty quickly, even when they've invested billions of dollars in them. The truth makes sense. The lies do not once they're exposed.
Well, I guess, as James Perloff, his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, a wonderful book, covers so many different things you need to know about, and certainly James's material certainly is impeccable. He's an excellent researcher. His previous book, Shadows of Power, we still carry that. That came out, what, well over a decade ago, didn't it?
1988, 25 years, it's still selling. So I'm grateful for that.
Well, we're grateful for it. And so if you can certainly reach us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. But ladies and gentlemen, we're on the edge of something very, very big. Watch and see what they're doing with gold today. It was up dramatically. Watch and see what they're doing with the stock market. Note that the major banks are not lending now. What does that mean? Why, it means that they've decided they're going to shrink our economy. They'll be already beginning to raise interest rates. Going to have a disastrous effect on the price of the bonds. We go right ahead, James. We've got a few more minutes. I want to get as much information out as we can, but we're on the edge of a major financial catastrophe, ladies and gentlemen. Make your preparations. Don't put it off. Go ahead.
I really don't know where to invest myself, Dr. Stan, because it seems that the markets are so controlled. They can make gold down go down in an era of inflation. You never know what they're up to, but you're absolutely right that the markets are being completely manipulated. I'll give you an example that I give in my books of how things are manipulated back in 1994 when the United States was debating the GATT Treaty. The Senate was holding hearings. Look at the GATT Treaty, of course, got us to the World Trade Organization. It globalized our economy. It brought a flood of cheap foreign imports and destroyed our industry here at home. Well, the Council on Foreign Relations and the big shots, they wanted that legislation passed. And so they had a big shot from the CFR named Phillips Verhaeten come down, and he told the Senate committee, headed by Senator Ernest Hollings, that unless the Senate that passed this treaty, the markets would react adversely. Well, that very same day, over at the Fed, Alan Greenspan raised interest rates, short-term interest rates, 0.75%, and the market started to collapse, and it continued to collapse until
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with James Perloff, his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, and then his other book we carry, Shadows of Power, written, I didn't realize it was 1988, but it's been around for a long time. But Truth is a Lonely Warrior is an excellent overview of what's going on. And Shadows of Power takes you into the secret societies that we've written extensively about, the people who really run the world today. So they're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, you'd like a catalog, you'd like a list of the books or products and the other things we carry. Well, I would be glad to send it to you. You can go to our website, radioliberty.com, and get a lot of the information. Certainly, you can listen to our radio programs there. And as you know, we do 5 hours of radio a day, 5 days a week. We don't get paid for what we do. My wife and I work full time because we believe the work we called to do this, because this is a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. And if we can bring people into a personal relationship with the Lord, then, or at least to move them in that direction so that somebody else can bring them into a personal relationship, then we've done what we're supposed to. So basically, of course, we hope you'll go to our website. You can watch our DVDs there, many of them. Or you can certainly listen to our radio programs. You can read the newsletters we've written in the past and those that are being written today by William Grigg, who will be our guest for the next hour. We certainly have many links. We have one or two other sites around the web with news on it. It's right down below the big blue banners there. You can see that very close. And basically, because we have links to many other websites, we have links to the products that we carry that help finance what we do. And we hope if you get them, you'll get them through us. Certainly our health products, I think, are vitally important, and you need to have good supplies on hand. Certainly immune support is important because it boosts your immune system. We also have something called Alibiotic, which boosts your immune system. You need to be taking every single day vitamin D3, 5,000 units, because, of course, especially this time of year when you're not getting the sun, but even during the summer, we spend so much time inside, we do not have the vitamin D we need to boost our immune system. And then, of course, most people are deficient in magnesium and zinc and selenium, but go to our website or call us at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for a list of our health products. And then we carry Miracle 2 soap products. And Barbara and I wouldn't be without them. I certainly wouldn't be without the soap, or certainly without the gel, which I use for many, many things. Anytime you got a cut, a bruise, a burn, I put it on my hair, and I still have hair, fortunately. That's the Miracle 2 gel. And then, of course, we carry the Berkey products. We have a line of spices. Why do we carry spices? Well, they generate food business funding for what we do, but more than that, they're delicious. Barbara and I have used them probably close to 20 years, and we just came up with the idea we'd offer them, and they made us a very attractive offer, and so we offer them. And certainly, if you like tasty food, you'll want to try the spices from Radio Liberty, Old Joe spices. And whenever we have something, and I comment to my wife, I've certainly, that was just delicious, honey. And her reply is, well, thank Old Joe. So anyway, Old Bill, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. And we ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders, for our ministers. We ask you to certainly pray for the people who work for Radio Liberty, because, of course, we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. We ask you, of course, to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so we're going to be back here in just a few minutes with our good friend William Krieg to wrap up this week's program. We'll be back the first of next week. But hang on, we'll be back in just a moment with William Krieg.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean, white with gold.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the coming to you from the hills, looking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Krieg, who is formerly senior editor of the New American Magazine. He certainly always the editor for a time of Republic magazine. He's worked for a number of different magazines. Now he's written at least six books. He's in the process of writing another book. Certainly he writes articles frequently. You'll see them on Lou Rockwell. He has his own radio program, and he's good enough, of course, to actually write my newsletter, since I really have a couple of other projects. And so we've asked William to write our monthly newsletter. He does a great job. In fact, that newsletter is just going out now, and we hope many of you will want to subscribe to the Radio Liberty newsletter. We hope many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out, certainly 5 hours every day, 5 days a week, trying to educate people about what's going on. And God has given us the opportunity through the miracle of AM radio and FM radio and shortwave radio and the internet, certainly, and satellite, and even by telephone. You can get our program of the 2 hours in the afternoon on telephone. But what a wonderful opportunity to be able to reach people with information they're not going to be able to get through other channels. And there are all sorts of problems, I know, for people with all the electronics we have out here. I know some people have been complaining because certainly several of our internet programs, they seem to have changed the frequency and the number of megahertz. I don't understand the wavelengths and all of the things that people complain about. But why? Because you can't get the program one way. You can get a satellite receiver, or you can get your telephone if you have unlimited minutes. But we have the opportunity to get the information out, and with your help, we will. Our guest, of course, is William Krieg, and hopefully he'll be with us very, very shortly. And we're going to be talking about what's going on today. But basically, I mean, one of the most shocking things, certainly, was a 317-point drop in the Dow Jones average today. But why is this happening? Well, people aren't telling you that, obviously, as a result of what's happened this last week in Davos, why the people who've run the finances of the world have decided that they are going to start cutting back on the world economy. In other words, they're going to dry up the availability of money. And of course, if you're reading the lead pages in the Wall Street Journal, you'll find out that basically our major banks, remember, we only have six major banks that control about 67% of all the financial assets of the United States. And these six major banks are not lending now. Well, when banks stop lending, of course, then of course corporations can't borrow, people can't borrow money to buy things. And as a result, of course, you begin to contract the economy. And that, of course, the same thing is going to be happening. They're beginning to allow the interest rates to creep up. With that, of course, the price of bonds will begin to fall. And of course, those people, many of our major, certainly, corporations have invested their money or their pension money in the bond market, and certainly, as the interest rate goes up, the price of those and the wealth and those bonds is going to fall. And we're going to be heading into some very, very difficult times. But right now, we've got William Greig. Hi, William. How are we doing tonight?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on again this week.
And what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Well, I think I'm going to have to piggyback on what you're saying about the hard times that are coming. We have the stock market make an adjustment today down 300 points, which is badly overdue and only a fraction of what has to be done in order to restore some sense of rational pricing to the market. But we're seeing the premonitory tremors of some really earth-shattering developments.
Well, you hang on there, Chris, to our guest, William Greig. And price-savings ratio is out of sync, and people are borrowing a lot of money to get in the stock market, and they're going to lose it, I fear.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com,
freezedryguy.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Sidney William Craig, and he's certainly expressing what I have been thinking, and that is that certainly we're going to be heading into some very difficult times. William has mentioned of this meeting at Davos, Switzerland, and certainly what I have certainly read about what was said this last week is that many of the people who are there are expressing similar concerns that our economy is certainly on the verge of some very major changes. Certainly the stock market has been going up, not for any reason at all. The price-earnings ratio is out of kilter. The stocks are way overpriced. Suddenly, our industries and our mercantile system is contracting. Many of our major stores are having real problems. People really are looking at seeing what's happening to stores like Sears and Macy's and Sydney. Best Buy is having real problems. Target's having problems. Penny's is having problems. Kmart is having problems. And it's estimated that probably in 3 or 4 years, a lot of these stores, which have been the foundation of our economic system for many years, these stores may well not be here unless something dramatic happens. But people have been borrowing money to get into the stock market. The number of people in the stock market is on margin is way, way up. Price earnings ratio are way out of kilter. And basically everything has been pointing to the fact it's not a matter of if, but when this whole thing starts to come down, certainly Mr. Bernanke is going to be replaced by Ms. Yellen here in probably the end of this month. And I think that we're in for some very difficult times. William, you go ahead and pick up the story.
I think it's interesting to talk about what's going on in the retail sector right now with these iconic chains and brands with which everybody is familiar, everybody a certain age in any case, and how they're on life support at best right now at a time when we're supposedly in a post-recession recovery. And, of course, if you take a look at what's going on with shopping malls, major shopping centers, you have the paradox of shopping centers being shuttered by the dozens or scores or hundreds in the Midwest and shopping malls being put up in the Western United States. And that's not because the economy is doing any better. It's because a lot of people who are wired into the system have gotten cheap and easy credit, and they're investing it in something that they think might at some point turn a profit, but I don't see how it's going to happen. And then I'm looking at the Baltic Dry Index, which is the definitive measure of international trade. As of yesterday, it's down to 1,271 points. That's to compare with its all-time high back in 1985 of 11,793. So you've got international trade, international shipping being a measure of international trade, grinding to a standstill at a time when supposedly we have consumer confidence thriving in this country and people not buying things. It's not happening. I'm astounded at the extent to which this illusion that has been propounded of an economic recovery is being accepted, at least for the purpose of public conversation. But just this past week, one of the chief labor and market analysts on cable television said if we do an honest and rational accounting of the unemployment rate here in the United States, it's about 37%. And that, of course, is in Great Depression territory. I don't think there's ever been a society, of which I'm familiar in any case, human history, where there has been such a profound and apparently incurable disconnect between the reality that people are experiencing and the politically agreed upon reality that is the basis of public policy discussion. And that has to do with something you always talk about, Dr. Stan, the way that major media are involved in conscious deception.
And basically, of course, the 37%, I saw that figure, but I'm sure they're including in that the over 10 million people are on disability. A few years ago, it was only 5 million. Now it's over 10 million. Why? They can't get jobs. And so they come up with a feigned or perhaps a real physical disability. But whatever it is, over 10 million people on disability today. And basically, of course, we have a large number of people who've just given up looking for work. And then, of course, we have the unemployed. And then we have the underemployed, and more people are getting laid off. I suddenly cut back to less than 30 hours a week. You can't live on 30 hours a week, especially at $10 or $12 an hour. And basically, of course, but this is a definite byproduct of the Obama health care bill, which I personally think was designed to fail, to push this country into economic destruction. But go right ahead.
It's interesting. The headlines today were touting the idea that Obamacare is a success because 3 million people have supposedly enrolled in it. And this reminds me of the classic comedy sketch in which a couple of teachers are at the in front of the entire student body of a high school, and they're addressing the several hundred students of this high school and say, it's really inspiring that all of you chose to attend this mandatory assembly. I mean, there's no virtue in attending something you're compelled to attend, and the idea that people are enrolling in a program they're told is mandatory doesn't mean that that program is a success on any terms that would be logical in the eyes of anybody apart from an East German commissar. And so you've got this program. I agree with you, Dr. Stan, in your assessment that Obamacare is designed to fail. The fact that they're constantly redefining what qualifies as success is a really good illustration of that. That, of course, the first rule of bureaucracy, the prime directive, if our program fails, then redefine success. But in addition to complying with that bureaucratic mandate, what you have here is an acknowledgement in practice that the thing is unworkable because they keep changing it, and they change it for reasons of political advantage. Obviously, they don't want to be saddled with the consequences of this program during an election year, a congressional election year, and there are a lot of congressional Democrats who are profoundly concerned about their own political prospects when the true impact of this is felt. And it's being felt. That, of course, plays into the economic decline and the dismal job numbers that we're talking about. Supposedly a 30-hour-a-week position would be considered full-time for the purpose of requiring an employer to provide health care benefits. But to your point out, Dr. Stan, nobody can afford to live on a 30-hour-a-week job. And those jobs are not available because people are not allowed, are not able, small businessmen are not able to meet the federally mandated expenses of hiring people and providing them with health insurance. And then you have Little Sisters of the Poor and Hobby Lobby and some of these other businesses that are owned by wonderful Christian entrepreneurs who are being treated as enemies of the state because they do not want to be compelled to provide coverage for birth control methods that involve, among other things, chemical abortion. There's no reason at all, constitutional or certainly not moral, to compel an employer to pay for this. And the conversation now has shifted in such a way that these people are being treated as public enemies or traitors because they do not want to submit to a manifestly unjust and unconstitutional directive from Washington. And the idea is that if they don't pay for these services, supposedly they are depriving their female employees of the opportunity to obtain birth control if they want to do so. That, of course, isn't the case. It's just that they are not going to pay for it. They're not inclined to pay for it. But you have Hobby Lobby facing outright Stalinist-style extortion from Kathleen Sebelius and the bureaucrats at HHS, facing the prospect of literally millions of dollars in fines because they will not violate their conscience in order to meet the requirements of a manifestly unjust and unconstitutional policy.
Well, you know, William, as I see what's going on today, I can't help but have that terribly uneasy feeling that God is going to bring judgment on America. He's going to bring judgment on America because of the abortion, because of what we're doing, certainly with the Obamacare, as far as forcing people to finance abortion and contraception and things that they don't believe in. And there is a God, certainly people don't ordinarily consider this when they consider what's going on from a political point of view or with a mandatory health care program, but God does rule in the world, and until we recognize that he is involved in everything, I think that we're going to be certainly a little bit lost, because I think some terrible things are going to occur. I don't know in what form they're coming, but I do believe that God brings judgment on nations that turn against him, and I believe that America has turned against God. May God help us.
I, like you, to paraphrase Jefferson, tremble for my country when I reflect on the fact that God is just. Justice does not sleep forever. And, of course, when you have a nation that is impudently rebelling against all that's good, true, and decent, I think what the Creator does is he allows us to settle into the speculence of our own bad choices. That's one of the ways that he brings judgment, is he simply gets out of the way and lets us have the consequences of what we've chosen. And so many people seem to believe that you can choose your course of action and exempt yourself from the consequences. There's very, very few, if any, examples of that perverse principle than the whole abortion ethic. You know, an act that is going to result, most likely, in the conception of a human individual is going to have profound consequences. That's one of the reasons why that act is supposed to be sanctified through covenantal marriage, and one of the reasons why parent is given this sobering and profound responsibility to raise the child. It's not merely the indulgence of a concupiscent whim. It's something that has lasting consequences. But you treat the consequences, the human consequences of those actions, as something avoidable. And, of course, Mr. Obama, long before he became president, was talking about the idea that his daughters, if they made a mistake in terms of having a premarital intimacy, he wouldn't want to see them punished with a baby. He looks upon a baby as a punishment, as a chastisement, rather than a blessing, albeit one that can arrive, ironically, as the result of a bad and immoral choice. That's the extent to which he represents that depraved death ethic. And it's woven into everything he does. This is a guy who, over the last 5 years, has presided over a drone program that has killed thousands upon thousands of people, including U.S. citizens, most notably a 16-year-old kid, at the whim of the occupant of the Oval Office without any colorable context of constitutional law or statutory authority.
Well, I think
this man is a mass murderer.
Well, people don't stop and think. We have. American tax money has financed the rebels in large part that have killed probably well over 130,000 people in Syria. And the figure certainly in Libya was between 50 and 100,000 in the revolution we incited there. And how many in Tunisia and Egypt, we don't know. But I don't think anybody will deny the figure is close to 130,000 in Syria. Does anybody care? Well, I do, and I believe God does, and I believe God is going to bring his judgment to him.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased?
Evidex, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins, diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinex promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order.
On the web, go to our website, iotconline.com. If its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sidney Williams talking about the Alawite regime in Syria under Assad. And, of course, this is really sort of a subdivision of the Shia Muslim, in contrast to the Sunni Muslim But it's the Assad, we're told what a terrible individual he is. Ladies and gentlemen, this was an ophthalmologist. He didn't want to become a ruler. He didn't want to become a dictator. He was practicing ophthalmology in London, as I recall, when, of course, his father died and then his brother died. And so they pleaded with him to come back. But this is not an evil man, because I'll tell you one thing, and that is that he protected the Christians in Syria, certainly from persecution, even though he himself is a Muslim, but he protected the Christians, which, of course, is not what the people we're financing over there are doing. We're financing the radicals that are killing the Christians, and Assad is protecting the Christians, and we seem to live in a world gone mad, and nobody's telling the American people. William, go right ahead.
The thing I find so striking about all this, Dr. Stan, once again, is the fact that you've got this guy who is the head of a very bad regime that was useful to Washington when it was being used to torture and interrogate people, among them Bayer Arar, the Canadian Syrian expatriate who was shanghaied at JFK and taken over to Syria to be tortured and held in the equivalent of a Vietnamese tiger cage for 10 months. This is the sort of thing that was routinely done under the Bush administration, using Damascus and their Soviet-trained and CIA-financed secret police as a subcontract. And as was the case with Muammar Gaddafi, once his usefulness had been exhausted, we have an effort now to undermine that government and install a radical, militarist, fundamentalist Islamic regime. That happened in Libya. That's happened in Iraq. You've got Iraq with a U.S.-endorsed Sharia-compliant constitution. And they seem to be trying to bring about the same development in Syria. And as you said, Dr. Stan, for all of his considerable faults, Mr. Assad did provide shelter to the Christian population in Syria. That is the last country, Lou Rockwell likes to say, by way of describing what's going on with American foreign policy, Syria is the last country in that region where you can actually go out and get a drink. Now, I'm a teetotaler. I'm not even a tea-onceler. I've got no interest in alcohol. I've got no interest in intoxicating libations or mood-altering drugs of any kind. But the point he's making, Mr. Rockwell, is that you have in Syria the last embattled readout of something that would be considered a reasonably secular and non-sectarian regime. And American foreign policy has been to take these regimes out and replace them with charming arrangements like the Sharia-compliant government in Iraq. At the same time, we're told we're fighting a civilizational war against radical Islam. They're cultivating the problem that our foreign policy is supposedly supposed to solve. And the people to whom Washington wants to turn over Syria, as you say, Dr. Stan, are cutting the throats of Christians and destroying ancient Christian villages and neighborhoods that go back to the era of the apostles. That happened in Iraq as well. Many of the Iraqis that were chased out of liberated Iraq wound up in Syria. And heaven only knows where they'll end up if Syria falls. And I am convinced on the basis of a number of reasons, not the least of which was a tip I got from a good friend of mine who's a retired career special forces officer, very wired into what's going on. He said that he had been informed that some of the military facilities in Texas, North Carolina, where they have special forces people on call, have been given a warning order that they're headed to the region, most likely Jordan, within a few months in the spring, to lay the groundwork for a military campaign against Syria. So what's going on regarding diplomacy in Davos and elsewhere about Syria's compliance with the agreement regarding its chemical weapons arsenal, that's all eyewash. That's all a Potemkin charade. And just this last week, over the last few days, we heard once again atrocity stories coming out about horrible things that were supposedly going on in Syrian prisons. Once again, I'll stipulate to the fact this is a terrible government. It's the government, after all. These are the sort of things governments do. But this was something that was put in circulation by the government of Qatar, which is ruled by a Sunni monarchy that despises the Shiite regimes, that is to say, Syria and Iran particularly, but particularly despises the regime in Damascus because the Alawites are seen as horrible heretics, even worse than the Shiites. They really have no friends on either side of that equation. And so we're going to see what's likely within the next 6 or 8 months more overt intervention by the United States in Syria is perhaps the backdoor to a war with Iran that I'm still convinced they're trying to precipitate. That would be the 1914 scenario all over again, albeit in a different part of the world, and the damage would be much more immediate and wide-ranging. That's something I look upon with nothing but unalloyed dread.
And not only that, but let me point out that there are real problems in Turkey. We have people there that are keeping us abreast of what's going on. We'll be doing a program Monday morning with somebody who's actually in Turkey. And Turkey is certainly on the verge of going from moderate to extreme.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at a reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 808-982-7782 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 808-982-7782 right now and order seed for this year's garden. It's fast and easy. There's quick shipping, too. That's 808-982-7782. Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Here in just a moment with William Grigg. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William is simply pointing out what you need to understand. I mean, people imagine we have an elected government, you know, we elect our representatives, and nothing could be further from the truth. We have an elected elite. They control both political parties, and this is the elite who believes that they have the right to rule us. Basically, almost all of our voting machines are electronic. Can you check them and make sure they're honest? Obviously, you can't. We've sent people down to our local voting department here where I live, and they've tried to check the elections. You can't check them. They're all done by computer. How do you check the computer? You don't know what the computer is doing. They can rig any one of the voting machines. They can rig any computer they want to. And basically, we have a ruling elite that makes mockery out of the electoral process, not the democratic process. We are not a democracy. We are a republic. We were a republic today. We are certainly an authoritarian government under the control of a small elite that controls both political parties and makes mockery of the electoral process. And basically, these people have an agenda. They're carrying it out, and the American people, if they suddenly do not rise up and stop this, and I'm not suggesting harm resistance, I'm suggesting you let everybody you know understand what's going on, and we just simply refuse to participate. Go right ahead, William.
Exactly. We should re-examine perhaps this is something I've been looking at with, once again, no sense of eager anticipation. The conduct of the Christian church during the first two or three centuries of its existence under the Roman Empire. I actually just this evening returned a book that I had borrowed from a friend of mine who operates a theological college here in Payette, Idaho. It's strange to think that there would be a college in a town of 8,000 people. But yeah, there's a college of theology located here in Payette, Idaho. And among the tremendous literary assets that this college possesses, the entire collection of the Ante-Nicene Fathers, and I nibbled a little bit of that. Those are, of course, tens of thousands of pages of fascinating writings, but the book that I borrowed had to do with the catacombs and the literal underground existence of the followers of the way or the disciples of Christ during the first couple of centuries of Imperial Rome, and unfortunately, there's a sense in which we're being put back into the catacombs, not the physical sense necessarily. We're not seeking subterranean refuge or sanctuaries or things of that sort, at least not yet. What's happening, we're being told that our participation in the public culture is emphatically not welcome, and indeed can be construed as a form of sedition. And in extreme cases like that of Hobby Lobby, Little Sisters of the Poor, it can be targeted as if it were some kind of criminal behavior. And it's something I wrote about not long ago, reflecting on what happened with this engineered controversy over Duck Dynasty. You've got the personage of Mr. Robertson, somebody who speaks a certain type of coarsely attuned common sense about matters that as recently as 5 or 6 years ago were considered incontestable tenets of morality. And now he's treated as if he were, in some sense, by expressing and endorsing conventional views about sexual morality and what constitutes legitimate marriage. Positions that have been uttered cynically and hypocritically by Barack Obama in 2008, interestingly enough. Mr. Roberts is treated as a thought criminal and somebody who's supposedly inciting violence against people simply because he refuses to extend to the people who practice homosexuality a sense of legitimacy that when they contract a union is somehow to be compared with a marriage. And this is the same man who says he's not trying to instill hatred against anybody. He's inviting everybody to accept the love of God as manifest in Jesus Christ. And that message on its face is being treated as if it were some form of incitement to violence or some form of seditious treason. And it's not as if he's the only or even most conspicuous example. And what happened over the last couple of days with regard to a much, I would say, much less commendable in many ways public figure is illustrative of what I think would be the oncoming tide of outright Soviet-style persecution of political enemies. That's the indictment of Dinesh D'Souza. Mr. D'Souza has his problems. It just recently was revealed in the last couple of years that in the midst of marital difficulties, he'd apparently been, to use a quaint but appropriate expression, living in sin with a much younger woman while he was still married to his estranged wife. And he was working as the president of King's College, which is a Christian university. And, of course, you can't do that. I mean, if you're going to be living a Clintonian lifestyle of that sort, you cannot be somebody who is providing academic legitimacy to a Christian university. And so he was forced to step down from that position when it became an occasion of scandal. But just within the last couple of days, and I'm going to read from the Politico summary, he was arrested and indicted on charges of campaign finance fraud. U.S. Attorney Preet, I believe it's pronounced Bharara's office, said that D'Souza made, quote, illegal contributions to the United States Senate campaign in the names of others and caused false statements to be made to the Federal Election Commission in connection with those contributions. Specifically, he supposedly was involved in supporting a Republican and Conservative Party Senate candidate named Wendy Long against Senator Kristen Gillibrand in 2012. She won a total of 27% of the vote. The indictment says that D'Souza made or caused more than $10,000 worth of campaign contributions under the names of others, in other words, straw contributions. It also states that he willfully and knowingly submitted false reports about the amount and sources of those contributions. This happened in New York State, and that, of course, is the state which is misgoverned by the low-tech caliber, intellectually stunted thug by the name of Andrew Cuomo, who within the last week said that you have no place in New York if you're a so-called extreme conservative. And he defined conservative extremism as being pro-life. He actually used the expression pro-life. If you're a pro-lifer, you have no place in New York. If you're somebody who supports the right to keep their arms, if you do not support this novel social arrangement called gay marriage, if you, in other words, espouse more or less uncontroversial positions, which are embraced by probably a majority of the American public at large, you have no place in New York. New York State, New York City, of course, is under the rule now of somebody who in the 1980s was shilling on behalf of the Sandinista government in Nicaragua, somebody who is as close as we have had in the last century or so to an overt Marxist government of a major governor of a major city. But this indictment of D'Souza and his arrest by the FBI supposedly happened pursuant to a random and routine review by the FBI of campaign filings with the FEC. It's interesting that out of that vast, sprawling haystack of information, they happened to focus on the one needle that was the activity of a man who in the last election cycle put out a documentary that was broadly and expansively critical of Barack Obama. In other words, they plowed through this entire field of haystacks, and they happened to find just what they're looking for to go after somebody who was a conspicuous enemy of the commander, I'm not going to call him commander-in-chief, their leader. And it reminds me quite a bit of what happened with the IRS, how, lo and behold, these routine reviews of applications for tax-exempt status or for nonprofit status by the IRS just happened to turn up all this supposed evidence of misconduct by conservative activist groups that had words like conservative or Tea Party or Liberty in their name. And the official who was presiding over this is the same person who granted nonprofit status to a spurious and criminal front group headed by Obama's half-brother. You know, this is the way that things work in a degenerate third-world Marxist regime, which is what we are becoming now. Taking a look at the alleged infractions of Dinesh D'Souza involving a few $1,000s, I couldn't help but reflect on the fact that about 20 years ago, not quite 20 years ago, well, actually starting in 1992 or 1993, the Clinton fundraising operation was involved in this huge industrial-scale laundering of illegal campaign contributions from sources overseas, such as the Lippo Group in Indonesia, which is allied with the Princeling class in mainland China. And you had this whole cavalcade of dubious characters such as Johnny Chung, Yalin, Charlie Tree, Ted Seong, various people who were attached directly to the Chinese government, such as an enigmatic character with the name of Wang Jun. These were people who laundered literally millions of dollars in money, all of it illegal under U.S. campaign finance laws, into the coffers of the Clinton reelection campaign. This is done by way of making the rubble bounce because Mr. Clinton in 1996 faced the least plausible Republican opponent in roughly 50 years. Watching the listless and lackluster campaign of Bob Dole, a person who, if it's possible, possessed a quality we could characterize as negative charisma, somebody who had spent his entire political career doing everything he could to consolidate the growth of the state and to sluice subsidies into the coffers of Archer Daniels Midland and other politically connected corporate groups like that. He didn't strike me as somebody who was actually seeking the White House. He was just doing this by way of duty. And on election day in 1996, I found myself wondering if Bob Dole actually voted for himself. And at the time, I said he struck me as the least plausible Republican standard bearer in a presidential campaign since the 1940 election, in which Wendell Willkie actually threw the election on behalf of FDR. There's a good possibility Wendell Willkie wasn't actually a Republican until a couple of weeks before the election, if he actually became a Republican at that point. But all this was happening in 1993, 1994, about 20 years ago. There was a huge fundraising operation that the Clinton administration was involved in that directed money from sources in the People's Liberation Army of Communist China and the Lippo Group in Indonesia, which is working with them, that ended up in the hands of the Clinton reelection effort. And there were policy decisions that were made regarding the transfer of technology to China that looked very much like a quo for the quid. It looked very much like they were providing this material to China in ways that benefited some of the people who had been providing them with these illicit campaign contributions. I think Johnny Chung, if I remember correctly, served some time in prison, but I think he was the fall guy. But, of course, what Dinesh D'Souza is accused of doing is using straw campaign daughters. That's something that happened with Chinagate, as it was called. He was accused of inappropriately collecting these this money and devoting it to a Senate campaign. The chief official in charge of the Chinagate illicit fundraising campaign was the 2000 Democratic nominee for president, was Vice President Al Gore. He's the person who was out at these fundraisers in Buddhist temples in California and at other exotic locations when they weren't holding fundraisers at the White House, having coffee meetings where people would be writing huge checks on behalf of Chinese interests. None of the major players went to prison. Most of the major players, of course, fled the jurisdiction because they were foreign. But this deliberate and transparent effort here to criminalize a high-profile critic of Mr. Obama and his administration is the logical outgrowth of this ethic that says that people who are opposing the regime are not merely politically not merely political rivals, but they're people who have to be crushed. They have to be destroyed. You hear that from Andrew Cuomo. You see that being put in practice by the Obama administration, and now, of course, you see this the possibility of Dinesh D'Souza being sent to prison for doing something that would be considered a venial, trivial, and technical violation of abstruse campaign finance laws that really are, in my opinion, somewhat dubiously applied to this situation. What happened in 1994, 1995, of course, was the infiltration of our political system by people who were acting on behalf of a foreign power, a far more serious offense, which means, of course, that we're probably not going to see anything ever done about it, and there's a very good chance that one of the ringleaders of that illegal fundraising operation will be the 2016 Democratic nominee, and that would be Hillary Clinton.
Well, before we go on, Brady, I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry, how you can get your, certainly listen to your programs, certainly how they could get to your website, how they could get your PayPal button, how they could support your ministry if they'd like to. So basically, why don't you just put a little plug in for William Grigg?
Oh, I appreciate that, Dr. Stan. It's always a blessing to be with you, and I do appreciate everything that you've done for me and for my family. My chief outlet is still the Pro Libertate blog that's found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. That's one word, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. It can also be accessed if you go to Google or another search engine and type in my name, William N. Grigg. The first return should be Pro Libertate. And I try to update it once or twice a week. So far this year, actually, I've been very, very prolific in putting out more than one essay a week. The essays are usually between 1,100 and 2,000 words. And there is a PayPal button at the bottom of every essay. If you go to the front of the page, the top of the page of Pro Libertate, scroll to the bottom of the current essay, you'll find a PayPal button there. And I really do appreciate, and I and my family desperately need all the help that we can receive, and I'm really grateful for it. LewRockwell.com, L-E-W and then Rockwell as in Norman Rockwell. LewRockwell.com is another outlet for which I write quite frequently. This past week, I published five or six fairly lengthy items on the LewRockwell.com blog, which is at the right-hand section of the page. And in the main body of the page, I've had several of my articles republished there. As a matter of fact, there's one there this evening. LewRockwell.com, Mr. Rockwell is the head of the Ludwig von Mises Institute in Alabama.
And I would simply comment that William does write the Radio Liberty newsletter. The newsletter, if you are a subscriber, went out, I think, probably either today or it'll go out on Monday. An excellent analysis is the what's going on as far as the Duck Dynasty is concerned. But go right ahead.
I appreciate that. That's very kind of you, Dr. Stan. My radio program is entitled Freedom Zealot Radio, and it comes on every Saturday night at 8 o'clock Mountain Time or 7 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Central. At Liberty News Radio, which you can find at LibertyRoundtable.com. LibertyRoundtable.com is where you have the web host for the Liberty News Radio Network. And so if you go to LibertyRoundtable.com, listen to my program, there's a Listen Live button in the upper right-hand quadrant of the page. You click on that, you should be able to access my program. Once again, it's at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, which is the time zone where I live, or 7 o'clock Pacific Time. time, 9 o'clock Central Time. It's an hour-long program. It's pre-recorded. It's not live. This week's program deals with the results of our involvement in overseas peacekeeping missions as made tangible in the militarization of domestic law enforcement. Not many people understand the connection between our involvement in imperial military ventures abroad, most of them through the United Nations or its regional auxiliaries like NATO, and the concomitant militarization of law enforcement here domestically. And not many people understand that the war on drugs is actually something that is being carried out pursuant to a 1961 United Nations treaty, the Single Convention on Narcotics. And so I talk about all those issues, and I also talk about some applications of the mindset and the tactical priorities that have been instilled in our domestic law enforcement because of our improvident involvement in the United Nations and in imperial politics in general. Once again, that's the Freedom Zone radio program, Saturday night, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock Central on the Liberty News Radio Network, libertyroundtable.com.
And, of course, William is with us ordinarily at this time every Friday, Friday, the last second hour from 8 to 9 Pacific time. And then at the bottom of every page, you'll find a PayPal button. I want you to know I had to argue with William for a matter of some months to get him to utilize a PayPal button. He hated to ask for money, but I told him you have to. You're going to survive in this society. I mean, doing what we do, he's in the front lines of this battle for the survival of Western civilization. Our guest this evening, William Grieg. He's from 9 to 10 every Friday. We'll be right back.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
This is Dr. Dr. Stan and Sydney. We hope you enjoy the conversation with William Grigg, and I think it's always a source of great information. I think this is information that the Special Forces is preparing to move into Jordan sometime in the spring. Sydney forebodes some difficult times. The last thing we want is to have additional military involvement because we can't afford it, and basically we should be pulling back and being concerned about our homes, about our country, and just stop trying to bring about this one world government. But you see, the Brotherhood of Darkness really runs our country. Their goal is a one world government, a one world financial system, and of course this destruction of Christianity, which is why we are funding the Muslim faith throughout the Middle East, why we've installed governments under Sharia law in both Afghanistan and in Pakistan, and Sydney working to do the same thing in Libya and in Tunisia. And we initially tried that in Egypt. The Egyptian people rose up in their righteous indignation. They didn't want us imposing Sharia law on them. So, of course, we backed off to some extent. But, of course, we're backing the people in Syria who will do that. We're backing the people in Turkey who will do that. And the current regime in Turkey is under tremendous pressure. We'll be discussing that on Monday morning with a gentleman who is actually in Ankara. And if you have an opportunity to listen to our early morning program on Monday, you'll certainly want to listen to it. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we are primarily dependent upon those of you out there across America who listen to our programs, who believe in our message, to help us if you're in a position to. And so, basically, you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or you can subscribe to our newsletters. Now, of course, if you join the family of supporters, while you get our four best CDs or tapes of the month, you get our monthly newsletter. Oh, we hope that many of you will want to go ahead and get the DVDs or videos or 4 CD or 4 tape sets or books we have. We have an excellent book on finance called Meltdown by Thomas Wood. I recommend it to you. Meltdown by Thomas Wood, because we're moving into a economic meltdown, and he has an excellent analysis of what's going on. You need, of course, to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand the spiritual significance of what's going on. And, of course, James Perloff's wonderful books, A Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Truth is a Lonely Warrior. And, of course, his book, The Shadows of Power, going into this group that works behind the scenes within the shadows, controlling both political parties and making mockery of our electoral process. And your job is to get informed and then to tell others about what's going on. Because, of course, I can only reach so many people. I can't do more than 5 hours a day of talk radio. We do 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. But you can talk to others and just ask them what's going on. Certainly, as if you can get them to even consider the fact that Adolf Hitler didn't die, certainly in a bunker at the end of the Second World War. He escaped to South America, beautifully covered in the book Grey Wolf, and we'll be carrying certainly Jerome Corsi's wonderful book, Hunting Hitler, as soon as we can get the order. They should be on the way. And if you can get people to understand they've been lied to about Adolf Hitler, the tens of thousands of Nazis were actively helped to escape to South America under under the Rat Line, and of course, just thousands were brought to America. We have a 4-CD set that covers that. It's called Operation Paperclip. Operation Paperclip, certainly all of these items are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our webpage, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs, watch our DVDs, read our newsletters, go to a section of other news around the web, and certainly we try to post something there every day or two to keep you abreast with what's going on. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices, beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains.
Radio show. It is January 24th. It is Friday, 2013. We made it. 2014. Oops. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world, doing the next right and honorable thing. I don't know what happened yesterday, but some really screwy things happened, and there's a lot of stories.